Yo.
Live. We are live.
Nah, Dan. I'm going to tell you right now. This, I know you don't know American sports a lot, but I'm calling an ISO. But I'm sure you understand what an ISO means.
That's when you look at something that really bothers you when you look at it. It's an ISO.
Exactly. I'm taking over this episode. I've had enough. I'm fed up, Dan. I'm fed up with the bad takes. I'm fed up with people who don't know what the F they're talking about. I'm fed up with people justifying stupidity. Oh, it's a bait. Someone's saying like, it's a trap, Dan. No, he's laid the trap. You know what I mean? Like,
Philip,
what happened to
the problem is you don't have empathy. Dreamville is going through it, Phil. They're going through it.
You get empathy.
They're looking for coping mechanisms.
I was part of it. Dan, the thing is, I'm part of it. But anyway, let's start this off right. Let's start this off with the right energy.
Praise to the almighty high power. Me and my niggas. Three eyes to my alumni. I see lay me down to sleep or wake up in the cool. Phyllis.
Throwing pellet guns at me. Paranoia make it more than difficult for me to sleep. Pinnacle, I know I beat. Centerfold, I know I got. But they hate the framey ass of Mona Lisa of hip hop. So retaliation is a must. When we bend the block, my niggas dumping out the roof. Do, 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 do. Drive past guns, flash, shooting up the charts too. BKDOT, put DNT inside my suit. Walk inside the label, struck a match and then I'm blue. Bomb, C4 everywhere, C4 everywhere. I got three oars with me, it smell like Dior and Derriere. Decoys die slow, you can detour to heaven stairs. So walk inside L's dungeon, I just might derail something. They I smell something. You dish on the daily, niggas. You pushing up daisy. I push the gas on Mercedes, nigga. Came in this game with a rolly chain and a dream. Became reality, made some casualties. My chopper scream, and now we dumping out the roof. Do, 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 do. Drive past guns, blast, shooting up the charts too. Me KDOT, put TNT inside my suit. Walk inside the label, struck a match and then I blew. Now we dumping out the roof. Do, 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 do. Drive past guns, blast, shooting up the charts too. Which make it easy for me to divide and conquer. I come from Compton, we ain't have it all. Smoke a spacing inside the cafeteria hall. And I'm putting fear in you all. See your skeleton shaking.
Here it comes, then. Pay attention. Listen.
Yeah, I pray to God this week I be putting up bombs. I pray to God this beat is good enough for Sean. If not J. Cole, your beat is trash. But at least my opinion just made everyone laugh. This is where we at.
11 years ago, little did Kendrick know that that line would be an amazing double entendre. 11 years later.
He knew. This man's so far ahead of the game. This is what I want to play. All right. I've gone. I'm going to go in the middle of the song, but I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a run up. Here we go.
Slash thirstiest nigga, you know, versus this scum of a land that transcends two surfaces. The richer the poor, the bigger the picture, the more blood pours. But don't tell a lie on me. I won't tell a truth about you. Don't tell a lie on me. I won't tell a truth about you. My fans can't wait for me to sun your punk, crush your whole little shit. I'll be pun your punk ass. You a scared little bitch. Tiptoeing around my name, nigga, you're lame. And when I get at you, homie, don't you tell me you was just playing.
Oh, I was just playing, K-Dot. Come on, you know a nigga rock with you, bro.
Shut the f*** up, you sound like the last nigga I know. Might end up like the last nigga I know. Oh, you don't wanna clash, nigga, I know. I put my foot on the gas, head on the floor, hopping out before the vehicle crash. I'm on the road, yelling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I am the greatest rapper alive. So damn great, motherfucker, I've died. What you hearing now is a paranormal vibe. House on the hill, house on the beach, nigga.
I mean, he said it. He said, hey, don't come around and say, nah, I was just playing, man. You know, I rock with you.
Come on. Further on in that song, so The title of that song, the reason why I brought it up, it's called The Jig Is Up. Dropped off to produced by J. Cole. Because obviously you guys heard that line. There's another line that further on, I think he says something like, Cole saluting Compton's king. No, King Cole saluting Compton's king. Which is supposed to be a big up, but now it's like King Cole crying to Compton's king. We're going to get into that. And
okay, Philip, let's start the show and then we'll talk.
Dan, there's no room for order right now, Dan. No, I'm upset. Genuine. I'm not even exaggerating. I have
gathered your thoughts.
This is the worst week for hip hop ever.
Nah, I disagree. But okay, anyway. Be that as it may, let's start the show. Are you
good to go?
Sound a big thing now.
Get my dope.
Let me hear a drum play.
Welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast. This is Two Broke Twimbos. My name's Danny That Guy, a.k.a. Denias, a.k.a. Danos the Mad Titan, a.k.a. Denford, a.k.a. Denim Be My Life, Your Entertainment, a.k.a. I'm done with these streets. Getting ziggy with it. Yeah, I know. I'm just celebrating.
I'm just saying, like we're really ignoring issues at home.
AKA Akuna Moon Wendy Dan Moo.
That's right. He's you. I'm unmistakable, irrefutable, that never colorable. Dark skins is upable. Phil Charlie.
Pizza B.
AKA Sexy Don Love. AKA Filthy Phil. AKA Phil on Musk. AKA Shamari. Take it or drink. Let's get into it, damn. We got no time for this. We got no time for pleasantries.
No. We got to start with present. Phil, this podcast is going to devolve. We got to start with the pleasantries because we'll never get back to them. We just won't come back to them. So let me get them out of the way real quick. All right. We're going to start off with Zimbabweans or Africans doing it big. Sorry, my bad. Because we're expanding. I want to give a big shout out to a Zimbabwean who is obviously an African doing it big by the name of K-Main. He's director. Real name Kudzimane, a.k.a. K-Main. He's training right now because the hit song, one of the biggest songs so far this year, Twalabam, coming out of South Africa, just dropped its video, directed by none other than Zimbabwe's very own K-Main or Kudzimane. Born in Zimbabwe, he's directed some of the biggest songs coming out of the Amapiano movement in recent years, such as Umlando. He won an Afrima Award for music video on the continent for Hilsey and Gary Mapanzure's TV Room. He's the producer of the current number one song in Zimbabwe. If you don't know what it is, I can tell you what it is. Sitting at number one on ZFM, number one on Star FM. It's Tammy Moyo and Master H's song, Kelly Kelvedura. He's the producer, the video director of those music videos. So shout out to him, training right now with some of the biggest tunes that are out right now and doing big things. Also want to give a big shout out to some young Zimbabweans aged around about six. Tema Kunashe Mchineuta, Aiden Murambidzi, and Delish Masango were representing Zimbabwe at the just ended Little Mr. and Miss Africa Continental Finals held in Lagos, Nigeria. Aiden won Little Mr. Africa, beating out all the other countries. Tema won the Innovate Queen, and Delish won Toto Miss Africa second run-up. So congratulations to them. I felt a little bit weird about this because I was like, you know, you never hear good stories about pageant moms. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I sincerely hope that these children are being taken care of and they're being looked after. But you know, congratulations on the win and the recognition. And then finally, someone whose career we've been paying a little bit of attention to. Remember last week we said we're going to pay attention to the chart performance. Well, we got the numbers now. Tyler dropped her debut album. Tyler, self-titled. It debuted at number 24 on the Billboard 200, 24,000 units sold. It also pushed the song Water to number one on the Billboard Afrobeats chart. The album was number one on the Billboard Worldwide Album Charts. Burna Boy and Wizkid are the only other African artists that have ever had a number one on that worldwide chart. The song Jump, which is featuring Skilly Bang, sits, and Ghana, by the way, sits at number 6 on the US Billboard Afrobeat Songs charts.
And number 20 on the UK charts. The whole UK charts. Not just Afrobeats, but the complete UK charts, number 20. That was really impressive.
Very cool. Truth or Dare is on the Billboard bubbling under number 4. I believe Water has been in the charts for 25 weeks now. So, yeah, and I watched a Dua Live performance on Stephen Colbert's Late Late Show. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay, look at that. Look at that. The planting is planted. And I don't say that in any kind of bad way. I mean, the industry is pushing behind a talented artist. So it's very cool to see the success that Tyler's having so far. All right. Okay, let's get into it. I'd actually, this is the section of the show where we're going to be focusing on following up on conversations we had in the past episodes.
Oh yeah, right? No, let's do that, Dan. I think let's follow up on a few episodes. I got a video I like to play just as a good follow up from last week's episode and the week before, actually.
It was very interesting. It was very interesting to me. So they compared. So this was specifically Dan. Dan says, the Two Book Tumbles podcast is Kendrick Lamar, right? Because Kendrick had that big bar, ain't no big three, it's just big me, right? So I was like, all right, cool, I see you. So they say they're Kendrick. They say we're J. Cole, you know, of which I think, to be fair, I'm happy to embody J. Cole. I'm cool, I love J. Cole, that's my guy.
Sure about that?
So
good to go. Good to go.
I thought they were clever with the little...
Good to go.
Huh? Huh?
Good to go.
Yeah, that's what you're finding.
Good to go.
You think you are clever.
Good to go.
Huh?
Good to go.
Listen, your arms is too short to box with the gods. Okay?
Phil, that's J. Cole's line to Kendrick.
No, that line predates.
I mean, really, of course I know that, but in the most recent exchange of blows.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go on.
Point
Look, in case you're wondering what that is, we'll address it a little bit. We'll allow a little bit of time. We actually thought we were giving you a compliment by comparing you to us. Mm. This is the other podcast, you know, 6 foot weights.
You know, the thing is, and like listeners, you can hear this. Listeners, like when I speak, there's no echo. There's no like tin sounding in my voice. Dan's voice sounding crisp, bass, rich, full. Okay,
you can talk to us
when it sounds like you record your podcast in a tin can. Come on, man.
You can legitimately listen to this podcast as 2x or even 3x and not miss a thing. Oh, you can't do that with some other people's podcasts. No, son. Because it sounds
like Godwin went and started the podcast.
Listen, throwback. We keep our foot on Kim's neck for a reason. Okay, we're making a better producer. Better.
Oh, so
content creator.
I thought I heard shots about, hey, we mistreat our producer. Okay, maybe we should call Crims up and ask him how much he get paid a month. Huh? Maybe we should call up your producer and ask how much.
Let's go dollar for dollar. Let's do that. Let's go dollar for dollar. Let's go hourly rate for hourly rate. Let's do that. How about that, huh? Let's do that.
Huh? I know you don't want to do that because you ain't pay a cent. I know you don't. I don't even have to ask. I know you don't. So don't come on here talking about who treats their producer better. Come on over to we pay our producer. That's why we can exact high standards.
We pay for microphones, okay? You know what I'm saying?
Crims, if you mess up the audio on this episode, I swear.
Crims.
If you mess up the... I swear.
But yeah, okay. Listen, guys. There's so many ways I could chop you up. But I think, like, I had so many points lined up because there were so many missteps. Like, my man Tabs didn't even know Control Verse. He just landed like, I got a song. Hold on, let me get to the verse. Like, he couldn't even give preamble. Fam, like, if you don't know Big Sean featuring Kendrick Control. Like, I can't help you. Like, we're not in the same league regarding raps. You guys, hey, the arguments, man. Like, you know what you guys need? Give us a week. Let's produce your show for you. You know what I mean? We'll sit down with y'all. We'll help you structure some talking points. You know what I mean? We'll flesh it out. You know what I mean? Take it under our wing.
Then send the audio this way. We get our producer to produce your show. And then let's just see. How it sounds. Let's compare it.
We'll help you guys with talking points. You know, keep you guys fresh. Keep you guys, you know what I mean? Keep the conversation flowing. You know what I'm saying? Huh? We're here to help. Like, please, don't turn away a hand trying to help you. You know what I'm saying? We're here for the youth.
Now, obviously, we understand that there's people who listen to you and who may not be aware of better podcasts around. But that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? We want to introduce your audiences to a sonic experience that they deserve. To takes that show someone who didn't grow up. How do I put this? I want to put this in a diplomatic
way.
Let
me help you, Dan. You know who 6 foot weight makes podcasts for? They make podcasts for people who are comfortable bending their earphones into an angle and then tying like sellotape around it so they could listen in both ears. That's who they make. That's who they make podcasts for. Those type of people.
6 foot weights makes podcasts for people who, when they say, "I was reading this weekend," they mean I was studying for a test, because that's the only time they'd ever be reading. You know what I'm saying?
And it's a driver's test. It's not like a certification or nothing. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, which car goes first at the intersection? A car, A, B, car, C.
6 foot weights makes podcasts for those dudes that say, bring stock to the bride. That kind of caliber of human. You know what I'm saying?
You know, 6 foot weights makes podcasts for those dudes that every Friday afternoon they post a pic of them holding a bottle of Bollinger's and there's a Toyota logo in front and they're like, "Weekend ya tanga," you know? That's their peeps. Six Foot Weights makes podcasts for niggas who invite girls to the braai and then tell them, "Yo, hurry up so you can cook."
Six-foot weights makes podcasts for those guys who say, "Nah, I don't agree with Shadia, but he do be making some points though."
When you think about, like, when you stop and think about it though, you know what I mean? Like a broken clock.
I'm not saying he's always right. Like, sometimes he goes too far. You know what I'm saying? But like other times, you know, he got points though.
Six-foot weights makes podcasts for people that have potatoes in their socks, and they just tie a knot in their sock instead of sewing them or getting a new pair.
6 foot weights makes podcasts for people who buy Mikey's and a Bebas.
Six foot weights makes podcasts for people who empty their savings account to take a photo with the money phone.
Six foot weights makes podcasts for those dudes who paid like 20K to get a selfie with Chris Brown.
Anyway.
But let's take advantage of this conversation to talk about J. Cole. I want to acknowledge, Phil, you know, we've got a diverse listenership. You know, we got hip hop fans. We got some people who are only on the peripheries of hip hop. So allow me to just paint an entire picture. Let's discuss. All right, now, if you were paying attention to our podcast last week, we introduced you to the potential beef that had been sort of bubbling under for a long while. And I mean, when I say beef, I think most of us understand that this was competitive, not necessarily personal. But either way, we'll get into that. There was beef that had been bubbling for a while because three people currently in the current crop of rappers, and I'm not talking about the Jay-Z's of this world and so on, who they've passed their prime, let's put it that way. They obviously still goats and legends, but you know, they're not in the current conversation. There's three people: Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Drake, who have consistently called themselves the greatest rappers, the greatest, the GOATs, the best, the number ones, etc. So obviously, this competition was going to drive to a head when it got to a place where, okay, you say you number one, I say I'm number one, he say he number one, let's get to stepping. Mm. Now, all three of these rappers have a legacy that's undeniable, but what do you know? Denying legacies turns out to be possible. Turns out to be possible, but okay. Kendrick, I mean, in the song First Person Shooter we spoke about last week, J. Cole and Drake were trading, you know, were trading bars, and they were both calling themselves the GOATs. And then J. Cole had a bar where he spoke about the fact that it's the big three with Kendrick, right? So Kendrick put out his song, which is currently sitting at number one on the Billboard Hot 100, by the way, like that. Future and Metro Boomin song featuring Kendrick.
Metro and Future put the song Kendrick was featuring.
Yeah, that's what I said. And on this verse, on this song, Kendrick says, mother F the big three, it's just big me. You know, apart from also stating that he's also the best. So this was obviously fighting words. It wasn't an insult. It was a diss in the sense of, yo, I don't think we're at the same level. I don't think it's competition. I think I'm better than y'all. So we were excited as hip hop fans to see, what is Drake going to say? What is J. Cole going to say? And the debate we were having, if you recall last week, we were having a debate about, yo, I mean, you know, what defines a GOAT? What defines the greatest of all time? The fans of all three of these will give their reasons, and it's going to be a fun debate, but we're waiting for the actual battle rap now for the rappers themselves to come forward and say, yo, I am the GOAT because ABC. Now we got battle rap. So it was going to be dope. J. Cole dropped his surprise mixtape, Might Delete Later. I say surprise, but people were kind of expecting it.
And he's been teasing Might Delete Later from with the vlogs he's been doing on his YouTube channel. Yeah. So I was, as a Cole fan, I was excited, especially, let me not get ahead of myself. The project dropped, so there were very interesting things about the project. One is, it featured a lot of former label mates of Kendrick.
Of Kendrick,
Daylight
yeah.
was on there, Dez is on TDE, Absol was
and
on
And Absol.
Rapping his ass.
Just getting an Absol feature was already like a chess move. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cole.
But once again, it really wasn't a chess move, because these songs were recorded a while ago. I think that's fair to say. This beef was not constructed in a day, and he didn't get those people on the track. Yes. First person shooter.
I completely understand, Phil, and I'm with you on this, but I'm saying when the mixtape dropped, and then you look at the track list, and then you see Absol in the context of Kendrick just now dissing. And again, I want to underline, it wasn't an insult or something personal. It was diss in the sense of disrespect. You say you number one. I'm saying, nah, you're not number one. I'm number one. That's what it was. It's a back and forth. Here come Cole with a whole mixtape, a whole body of work. It features some of your former label mates. Two, you got a whole song where you directly address it and you actually call out Kendrick's catalog, which confused a few people. But, I saw the timeline ignite.
Let's go through that, because, so 7 Minute Drill, we're not going to play all of it. So the song is called 7 Minute Drill because in the studio, T-Minus explained this, that J. Cole has a thing we call 7 Minute Drill. Where in 7 minutes, the producer and him have to write a song. And what they have after 7 minutes is what they go with, which is a good exercise in, like, you know, teaching you how to write quickly. But when you're in battle, maybe take some time. You know, maybe take time.
No, I mean, it's still cool, especially if you call out that I wrote this in 7 minutes. By the way, I just want to say we're focusing on 7 Minute Drill, but there were a couple of shots across the whole mixtape.
But
you know?
Once again, these songs were recorded before the song dropped. So
a lot of the shots
on this project are at Drake. They're not at Kendrick. There's shots at Drake. There's not shots at Kendrick until we get to the
I'm not sure about that. I think there would have been shots at Kendrick, because, I mean, you remember you told me about What's the Dirt? I watched his videos and I was like, oh snap, I really didn't think it's been somewhat friendly sort of competition between J. Cole and Kendrick for a while. And the last couple of years, it's been amping up a little bit. So I can expect that even before Like That dropped, we were going to get some shots from J. Cole in Kendrick's direction. But anyway, yes, go ahead. You were going to go through some of the lines. Yeah.
up in the veil. So I'm good when it's tension. He still doing shows, but fell off like the Simpsons. Your first was classic, your last was tragic. Your second put niggas to sleep, but they gassed it. Your third was massive, and that was your prime. I was trailing right behind, and I just now hit mine. Now I'm front of the line with a comfortable lead. How ironic, soon as I got it, now he wants something with me. Well,
first obvious line that we need to go there is J. Cole, even before this, even before what happened on Sunday, you are in no position to talk about albums that put people to sleep.
Okay, wait. I have a question. Okay. So he says, he basically says your first album was classic, your last album was tragic. Your second album put people to sleep, but they gassed it. Is the assumption that the first album is Good Kid, Mad City, which yes. I think everyone can agree is a classic. Yep. Or is he talking about Section 80, which is technically is an album.
No, it's a mixtape. Section 80 is a mixtape.
That was an album, dude. So in that, the indication then is what is probably the most critically acclaimed album of all time, To Pimp a Butterfly.
Which, by the way, it just enjoyed its 70th anniversary today. How ironic.
You're telling me that, I suppose, okay, wait. When I remember hearing this bar, and I was like, wait, is he talking about To Pimp a Butterfly? He's saying that put people to sleep? I was like, nah, surely not. And then I thought, no, maybe he must have been referring to Section 80. But I mean, Good Kid, Mad City was generally viewed as best. You know, I was in this hole because in my mind, I was like, there's no way J. Cole said To Pimp a Butterfly put niggas to sleep. Lo and behold, did I open my Twitter and I saw people saying, To Pimp a Butterfly slander? I've been waiting for this all my life. Let's go. And I realized that, you know, rap fans are not the same. Mm-hmm. There's some people who sat there and listened to this incredible conceptual album. There's some personal stuff that I'm not comfortable sharing on this podcast that was unlocked by that album. My wife told me the same. That album was genius, incredible, amazing. But it was a conceptual album. It wasn't club bangers, except for maybe We Gonna Be All Right.
You know, this just reminded me of something. I need to go back. You know, 6 foot weights. It just reminded me. There's one thing. I was going to let it slide, but the other thing that killed me is, yo, so 6 foot weights are like, yo, the problem with Kendrick is when he disses people, just mention their name. Then they go to they go to that Kev on stage. Skit with Kev on stage. Like, yes, I didn't hear your name, no mention, blah, 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 blah. And then they're doing this. They're saying that, like, Kendrick raps in too many similes and entendres. There's too much metaphors. Guys, did you guys not do O-level English? I don't understand. Like, when did you guys finish school? Because I remember
reading level, right?
We read a poem and then we're like, what does the poet mean? Let's get the deeper meaning of this poem.
You can read Goosebumps and you can read, I mean, Shakespeare is not even a great example, but let's use it here. In Shakespeare, you can break down the hidden meanings, the similes, the metaphors, the all of that, right? Goosebumps is, he opened the door and screamed. Both of those exist. It's cool.
They're both considered literature, quote unquote.
I don't think anyone would feel comfortable coming out and saying, yo, nah, but you know what I'm saying? I want me some of that Sunrise Readers. I want Sunrise Readers. Why y'all making me read big words and stuff?
And the wildest
Come
thing
on,
is,
guys.
Amongst all this, they're doing this to defend Drake. The king, the undisputed king of sending subliminal shots. Every rapper that Drake has dissed has come out and says, Drake drops diss songs that only you will know he's dissing. Like, he'll mention something so specific, so obscure, you'll be like, shit, he's talking about me.
So anyway, I mean, it's fine. You know what? I will let it slide a little bit because it was Senna, and Senna basically says, I don't really listen to hip hop like that. He listens to, I don't know, Gom or something. But
yeah.
No, that's not an insult. Anyway, my point is.
That is a little got me sick.
When I saw the rhetoric that was spreading on Twitter from people saying, oh, we're slandering To Pimp a Butterfly right now. This is my time. Then I realized that, you know what? It's okay. There's different tastes. And now that I think about it, it makes sense. It's, you know what? It's all good. You can mix that cranberry juice in your 18-year-old whiskey. Great, because all you want to do is get drunk. But there are those people who want to taste the underlying notes and who want to, do you get what I'm saying? So it's fine. Fine. Okay. So some people were definitely put to sleep, I guess, by To Pimp a Butterfly. But never in my, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that J. Cole would be one of those people. And I think he didn't think so either. I think his head was burning for 2 nights. He was like, yo, I can't believe I just slandered To Pimp a Butterfly, man. What? To Pimp a Butterfly? No, who are you? Who are you?
You know, why, that scene in Spider-Man? Why would you? So let's stop tiptoeing.
You know that scene in Spider-Man where Green Goblin appears in the mirror? Uh-huh. That's what was happening to J. Cole. Okay. Anyway, cool. So maybe that was
Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Yeah, that's a Sam Raimi Spider-Man. Yeah.
Even in this diss, he says, talking about his third album, which I assume he means Damn, which, you know, commercially successful, but anyway, he says, I was trailing right behind, and he says, you were in your prime, I was trailing right behind, and I just now hit mine. It's a diss with a, nah, but you dope though. You
know the whole song is like, yo, I love you, like people want to reject you, but I'm like, no, I love him, no. No, listen, fine. I love you. But anyway, I'm better than you. But no, listen, fine. You.
Like, strategically, 7-minute drill was ill-advised because Kendrick did not come out with ambiguity. He made it clear. Guys, I'm laying the gauntlet. I may not be insulting you personally, but I'm telling you guys, you guys are not in my league, okay? There's me, and then further down the rankings, there's you two. And he was responding directly to J. Cole saying, the UNO. Remember, let's go back to First Person Shooter. The numero UNO, numero uno. So J. Cole put himself at number one, and it says, the two of us is like the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl has two teams, Dan, two of the best. So J. Cole said, I'm number one. Drake said, okay, fine, I'll be number two, which obviously leaves Kendrick at three. And Kendrick was like, oh, okay. It's how y'all feel? Tag it. M. Daniel, I'm number one. Deal with it.
And in now, response, okay. So let's tell the whole story because of the stuff I want to say, but we haven't even got to the apology, right? So anyway, so J. Cole puts out this. We'll get into more of it.
On Friday. I woke up on Friday excited. The group, the Patreon group was busting. I was like, oh! On it popping. Went through the whole project. I was like, okay, it's a nice mixtape. And keep in mind, this mixtape is a prelude to what, Dan?
The fall off.
On 7-minute drill, J. Cole says, I've got two classics in the tuck. Two classics ready to go. Play with me if you want.
Here's the thing. I believe him. I believe him.
They're not classics anymore. They're done.
That's the problem. So here, okay.
I don't care whatever he drops. I don't want to hear it.
So anyone who's ever followed rap beef for a while, and again, I want to make a reference to something that was said on 6 Foot Weights. these guys were like, nah, but you know, like on Hit 'Em Up, Tupac just went and he was just going in. Yo, you move on up to a crescendo of Hit 'Em Up. It reaches Hit 'Em Up. It doesn't start with Hit 'Em Up, right? Everyone who's ever followed any rap beats understands we're at the jabs level. Kendrick dropped his jab. You'll say you're number one? Nah, I think I'm number one. J. Cole dropped his response like, nah, actually, you know what? Remember your album put people to sleep. You know what I'm saying? It's not personal. It's not your baby. This is not Nas and Jay-Z level. You know what I'm saying? Not yet, at least. It's jabs.
No one's mothers have intervened and said, go apologize for insulting his baby mother. You've gone too far.
For all we know. Anyway, the point is, at this point, it was jabs. And we knew it was going to escalate. And then the assumption is like, okay, you know, Cole was a little bit friendly on his response. And we'll get to it. We'll talk about it. A little bit friendly. You know, he had some words for Kendrick. But he was a bit friendly. But okay,
he also said he's got the shooters and he's got a Falcon missile. He said, I'm sending a Falcon missile if you play with me.
And he said, if shots get to popping, I'm the one doing the clenching.
It wasn't a trigger, that's for sure. There was some clenching going on. It wasn't a trigger.
So anyway, after this, J. Cole Wachoga, he drops this. You know, all fans were just like, okay, there we go. Cole's got a response. All right, you know, it could have hit harder, but you know, it's not bad so far. Let's see what Kendrick's got. Let's see what Kendrick's got now. And then 2 days later, this mixtape
before Kendrick could even finish writing his rhyme, you know, it's much like the game on Saturday. You know, I'm a Liverpool fan. We were up 1-0, you know. Manchester United haven't even sniffed the goal. No shots on goal, nothing. Then some youth decides to do a big pass from hell. Gives Bruno a free shot and boom, back in the game. And that's J. Cole right now. That's what he did. He just did a terrible back pass with an exposed goal. How do you go down 2 rounds in 1 weekend before you forfeited a round? How do you forfeit a round in a beef?
I'm gonna assume that not everyone is a fan of hip hop. So you may be wondering, what are you guys talking about? Especially since this was on the BBC. This is what J. Cole said, all right? Bar for bar. J. Cole was performing. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was asking.
I'm ready to play it. I have it here. I have it lined up.
But also, before you get that, shout out. So J. Cole had his Dreamville Fest. He does it every year in North Carolina. Let me also calm myself down and also leave some positive. Shout out to Somnyam. Shout out to Blackie for doing his thing on that stage, man. Seeing Blackie on that stage made me wild. It's also funny to see, like, but that was with him in Pablo's like a few weeks ago. He's now there. Wow.
So yeah. So J. Cole is performing at his Dreamville Fest. This was on Sunday. And during his performance, just before he plays, which song was he gonna play? He was gonna play No Such Thing.
No,
right?
He was gonna play Love.
Better than yours. No such thing as a life that's better. What's the name of that song? No such thing as a life that's better.
I don't care anymore.
Yours.
You don't.
Okay, anyway. This is what he said.
Me, right? So I'm so proud of that project.
Let me play it from here, actually, so you can hear.
Right? So I'm so proud of that project, except for one part. It's one part of that make me feel like, man, that's the lamest shit I ever did in my fucking life, right? And I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear. I know I can hear my niggas up there right now like, nah, don't do that. But I got to keep it 100 with y'all, right? I damn near had a relapse, right? Because y'all heard some that happened two, three weeks ago, however long it was. Y'all heard that bazooka that was dropped on the motherfucking game, right? So all of this time of me moving on my own accord, for the first time I was tested. Why am I tested? Cause I got the world and I got my niggas like, what you gonna do, Cole? My niggas like, bit boy, I must have had 1,000 missed calls. Oh my fucking God. Text flooded. I couldn't even answer my nigga, it's wartime. Boom, boom, right? Niggas wanna see blood. And I was conflicted because one, I know my heart, you know what I mean? And like, I know how I feel about my peers, these two niggas that I just been blessed to even stand beside in this game, let alone chase their greatness, right? So I felt conflicted because I'm like, bro, I know I don't really feel no way, but the world want to see blood. I don't know if y'all can feel that, but the world want to see blood. So I say all of that to say, in my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, I moved in a way that was that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my nigga back and I try to keep it friendly. But at the end of the day, when I listen to it, it comes out and I see the talk, that shit don't sit right with my spirit. That shit make me feel, that shit disrupts my fucking peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is, in the midst of me doing that and in that shit, trying to find a little angle and downplay this nigga's fucking catalog and his greatness, I want to say right now tonight, how many people think Kendrick Lamar is one of the greatest motherfuckers to ever touch a microphone?
Wait, hit pause, Dan. Hit pause.
Dreamville, y'all.
Hit pause.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand one thing. Let me, I'm just trying to understand. Let's say you're there, Dan. Dan, you're a J. Cole fan, right? Let's say you had the ways and the means to go to Dreamville.
I am a J. Cole fan.
Yeah. So let's say you flew.
I was a J. Cole fan. No, I.
Let's say you flew from Harare to North Carolina, right? On the way there, 7 minute drill drop. You're like, oh snap, it's finna be lit. I can't wait to see J. Cole perform this at Dreamville Fest. It's gonna be popping. You get there. Your mentality is like, ah, J. Cole's gonna shut it down. And then you get there, and then J. Cole's like, how many of y'all think Kendrick Lamar's the greatest? Like, wouldn't you be confused? I'd be confused.
No, okay. All right. Okay. I want to talk about two perspectives. So I'm going to start with the more sensible perspective, but I think the other one has merit. In my mind, the more sensible perspective is at the very soul of hip hop is competitiveness. I mean, it's less prevalent now, but once upon a time, cyphers and battle rap was hip hop. That was hip hop. Anything commercial that came out was like a bonus or a side thing, but hip hop was two guys meet on the corner and they're going at it. It's battle. It's battle rap. You know what I'm saying? It's on, you versus me. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm the greatest. You think you're the greatest. So, you know, an answer has to come out of this. So let's go. So I drop my bars. You drop your bars. I'm insulting you. You're insulting me. That's what it was. That's for many, especially older people. That's the definition of hip hop. The competitiveness. You have to think you're the greatest. So many rappers have said, I'm the greatest. I'm the best. I'm number one. I'm at the top. Right? Of course, some of them know. We all know that you're not really in the conversation for, are you at the top? Fine. We understand. But you still say so. You still come in with that braggadocio. That, you know what I'm saying? So there's that perspective, which I think that's what hip hop is. That's how it's, that's like the very definition of it. That's what rap is. It's throwing bars to go against someone. It's verses. You know what I'm saying? That's why verses was such a huge thing. Who's better? Who's got a doper catalog? Who's the better rapper? Who's got more longevity? Everyone's trying to prove that they're better, they're greater, etc. So I can completely understand the idea of, ooh, my fave just said this. What's the other guy going to say? Ooh, that guy said this and so on. But I also want to talk about the reality. The reality is probably most Kendrick Lamar fans are also J. Cole fans. And vice versa.
As am I.
For me, Kendrick is one, J. Cole is two. Not of all time, but of like the current
crop. Are we talking about personal preference or in terms of...
Personal. I'm talking about as a fan, just personal preference, but also my opinion.
And that's why I'm so upset, because J. Cole was above Kendrick on that list until Sunday.
So for you, J. Cole was in terms of personal preference?
Yeah, he was. I can't emphasize enough. The first, well, rather the last two mixtapes, J. Cole dropped before Sideline Story. The same way you have an emotional connection to Pimp a Butterfly, I have an emotional connection to those. His last two albums have really brought me back into the frame, because there was a time I was in the wilderness. I was like, man, J. Cole, I had so much faith in you, but you've really been letting me down with these albums. And then these past 3 years, he's been coming back with a vengeance, where I've been like, yo, J. Cole is climbing up my list again. He's back up. He's near the top. I appreciate the quality of Kendrick's music, but it's especially like Morel and the Hot Steppers. A, you got Kodak Black on there, which does not sit right with me. It's a hard listen. I get it conceptually. Same for To Pimp a Butterfly. Damn, I prefer as an album because it's a lot more digestible. But ultimately, I would say I'm a J. Cole fan. Like, if I had to make, if it was a Saturday, and at HICC is J. Cole, and at LX Sports Club is Kendrick, I'm enduring the traffic at HICC. Well, I was.
I would, I would be conflicted, misusing my influence. if I had already seen Kendrick, I would go to J. Cole, right? But I would love to see J. Cole live. To me, like I said, for me, it's one and two. Not of all time. I just mean of, you know, the currently active. And so what was I saying? Yes, my point was, I think for most fans of Kendrick, they are also fans of J. Cole and vice versa. So there was an understanding that this was, I think I'm the best. No, I think I'm the best. And we're all going to have our opinions. You and me could sit in a room and you'd be like, nah, but this mixtape and that. And I'll be like, nah, but what about, you know, that's the general conversation of hip hop. It would have been good for both of them, in my opinion. J. Cole felt like he had done something foul. He felt like he had overstepped, which I don't believe he did, because I think it was still very firmly in the realm of friendly competition.
He was still talking to Kendrick. They spoke about this.
I don't think so.
No, Cole said it. Cole said him and Kendrick had been in communication.
So I don't believe, and Kendrick does this a lot, right? Kendrick throws little jabs and throws little shots, and like he'll just drop your name. Like even on Control, he said, "I got love for y'all, but I'm trying to murder y'all. I'm trying to make sure no one ever heard of y'all. I want them not to listen to a single noun or verb of y'all. You know what I'm saying? But I got love for y'all." And to me, I get it. Maybe you as J. Cole love Kendrick, of which you've said that in the past. J. Cole has said that before. Like I heard. In fact, J. Cole basically discovered Kendrick. Kendrick's first big hit was produced by J. Cole, High Power. That having been said, it's possible that J. Cole looked at Kendrick as, yo, this dude is nice. But do you genuinely believe he's nicer than you? Which will go against everything you've said in your last couple of albums, man, because you've said you're the nicest.
Which is another reason why Cole has discredited this in the last 3 years. You started this beef and you couldn't even finish it. I am so
pissed. He didn't start. I still think Kendrick started.
Beige Brigade is down, Dan. You need to. The Beige Brigade is down, Dan. I don't know what you're going
to
do.
So this is what I think is the sensible take.
But you come to
my brethren. For ours, this should be called. We're looking for a different name, Phil. This shouldn't be Two Broke Twimbos. It's going to be Two Light-Skinned Twimbos. It's fine. Okay. On the one hand, right? I feel like that's a sensible take. Hip hop is competitive. This was nothing more than friendly jabs. And I don't think the only people who saw it different are the people who don't listen to y'all anyway. I saw some dude who had in fact, I saw several people with similar takes. The only people who think that this was, oh, snap, did you hear what he said? Oh, is the people who aren't even your fans anyway. So who cares what they think? Those who are your actual fans are probably also fans of Kendrick. I'm not saying 100%, but there's probably a very large intersection. And they're like, ooh, okay, what's he going to say now? Ooh, what's he going to... This is Cristiano Ronaldo against Lionel Messi playing a game of football. A rivalry.
And midway through the game, Ronaldo is trash talking. Messi, you can't mark me. You're too short. Messi, you're too thin. And Messi's like, nah, I can do it. I can do it. I can keep up with you. Man, I can keep up with you. And then Ronaldo scores a goal. He's like, yeah, I told you, you can't mock me. And then Messi's like, well, I'm going to get you. You mean. And I'm going to get back at you. Watch this. And then while Messi's dribbling the ball, he picks up the ball, starts crying, and goes over. Like, I don't want to play anymore.
Okay, this is how I would describe it. I'll describe it this way. It's Inter Miami versus Al Nassr or whatever team Ronaldo plays for.
Dynamos.
They're going. It's 3-3. It's the 93rd minute. 2 minutes of stoppage time to go. 3-3. Ronaldo hits a mad free kick. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, the GOAT. Messi hears the commentator say that. He's like, nah, I'm the GOAT. He goes and dribbles the entire field, reaches the goalpost, shoots the ball in, and it's 4-4 in the last second just to prove that, nah, I can do it better than he can. And then as the whistle goes, he calls up the ref. He's like, actually, I think I was offside. And also, I don't want to score against his team because I think he's better than me. No, man, it's competition. There will be debate over who's better. It's cool. Shoot your shot because you believe you're better. Even if you secretly think that maybe I am second best. of which there's some context as to why J. Cole might feel he's second best with the way the industry has responded to Kendrick, with the way the Grammys have responded to Kendrick, with the way,
Did you hear the thing? Okay, wait, actually, first thing. We haven't even finished the apology. We've gone off on a tangent for like 15 minutes. That's how upset we are. We didn't even finish the apology. That's
it's fine. Who cares? He's already said the same thing.
So that's
then
one.
I was going to say.
Then two, the other J. Cole fan theory was J. Cole apologized because of that line he had about the crackers. And obviously J. Cole's mom is white and his mom made him apologize for using the word crackers. That's the theory that's doing the rounds.
That's not what he said. He said, when I was reaching for an angle, I discredited this man's catalog, and that ain't sit right with my spirit. He goes on to say how he couldn't sleep.
Who the fuck? Oh my God.
So that's what he's apologized. Not for saying the cracker thing or saying the transphobic thing or whatever. Nah, that's not what he's apologizing for. He's apologizing for that. Now, here's the less sensible take, and I'm just being devil's advocate here. J. Cole is 39, turning 40. Whenever there's rap beef, traditionally what's always happened is the elders of the game, you know, the dons, the OGs, they come and say, all right, oh, y'all need to calm down. The jabs was all cool, but now you're going a little too far. Let's squash the beef and so on, right? J. Cole has eldered himself prematurely. I think, and I had this debate with my wife because she saw it as like, no, he's doing the right thing. Why must my two favorites fight? I was like, you don't get it. But I want to try and think about this perspective. And just as devil's advocate, what if J. Cole genuinely felt like, I need to find an angle for me to shoot back at Kendrick? It's just a jab. He's sitting with his boys and they're like, yo, what's some things we know about Kendrick? All right. One of the things that people have often spoken about Kendrick is he goes really woke and you know, very social justice warrior in his raps. And some people feel maybe he's not even really that dude. He's doing it as a caricature. He's just posing. All right, cool. Cole makes some references to that. The other thing is like his albums, like To Pimp a Butterfly was very conceptual. It got a lot of awards, but you know, it doesn't really get played in the club like that. Yeah, no, I guess it put people to sleep. All right, let me put that in the bars. Then he raps it. He releases it. As he's listening back and as he sees this furor that jumps up on social media of, nah, but for real, that album was trash. And he's like, no. That album is actually fire. I'm just looking for angles to shoot back at Kendrick. And now I feel bad about what I've said because that's not really what I believe. What I really believe is that album's fire. And now I've put it out in the universe and stirred this whole narrative that album's actually trash. Wait. And that doesn't sit right with my spirit. And I feel like I'm being fake and I need to fix this.
How big is J. Cole's ego? Or how delusional? Does he think that him saying that album is bad is somehow going to make it bad to everyone else in the world? Is that what he believes? Does he believe he's the arbiter of all things hip hop, that whatever he says becomes true?
I mean, he did before he apologized, I would hope. Of which, this is how I would respond to that. Let's just say in a crazy world, J. Cole really actually likes Kendrick, of which he said that before. And you know what? He felt like, I think I've overstepped. It's no longer really just playful jabs. I think I insulted his catalog, which I didn't mean to do. Some people would still have an issue with it, but I don't see anything wrong with him coming out of Dreamville and saying, yo, 2 days ago, I just dropped the mixtape. I think it's fire. I'm proud of that project. I still think I'm the best rapper alive. I think I'm the greatest. But you know what? Thinking back, I think I was a little bit unfair on his catalog. And I want to.
He wasn't even shooting.
I know. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt of this really didn't sit well in your spirit and you needed to address it.
Tell your therapist that, man. Like, why are you telling him
anyway, people are upset at J. Cole because, look, in my mind, I'm like, man, we all got it. It wasn't really beef. We know y'all are cool like that. Apart from rivalry.
I don't understand. I mean, if J. Cole's team, because he says that his homies didn't want him to say anything. So that means that he probably discussed it with his team and they were like, dude, this is a bad idea. Don't do it. Right?
Yeah.
He may have discussed it with Kendrick because they were in comms. I'm not going to speculate on that. But let's just say with his team. If you are J. Cole's manager, road manager, the festival director, the sound guy, the light guy, the person that the concession stand,
someone in charge of anything, and you knew this was happening, and you allowed it to happen. You dereliction of duty. You don't deserve a job. That man should have been tackled. He should have been handcuffed. He should have been muffled. The microphone should have been ripped.
The moment he said, y'all, my homie said that I shouldn't say the... Sorry, we seem to be experiencing some technical difficulties. We will be right back. In the meantime, Blackie comes back to the stage.
And the concert there. Just have Bass and Blackie finish off the show. Like, I said it on Friday, and I was upset on Friday, and I'm still upset today. A lot of people have taken more extreme views, and to be fair, they've made solid arguments that this is career suicide. Personally, I don't care how good the fall-off is. The fall-off may genuinely have been a 5-mic album. It might have been a classic. You've ruined it. There's no way it's a classic now. You can't come out and talk brolic, because on that project, you know he's like, I'm better than y'all. I'm going to rap y'all. I'm the illest alive, blah, blah, blah. You just said you're not.
Okay. Here's another conspiracy theory. So again, I watched that What's the Dirt video, and Kendrick has been threatening Drake for 12 years, saying, I dare you to say something. And for 12 years, Drake has been throwing a little shot and then saying, nah, man, let's squash the beef, man. I think he's real nice. I really think he's cool. And Kendrick keeps dropping shots like, I dare you say something. And Drake's like, let's be cool. Kendrick must have something on Drake. I don't know what it is. I don't know how damaging it is. But it could be story of added on level.
I think it's I don't think it's that. I don't think it's Makua. I generally don't.
Maybe it's not Makua. Maybe it's something else. But that, then
there's too many people don't you scared think, of Kendrick Lamar for him to have Makua on everyone.
That's what I was gonna say. Don't you think he's got something? Because they were recording an album together.
Yeah. Well, this is not for J. Cole and Kendrick had recording an album together, two singles leaked at the Good Kid Mad City premiere. Kendrick previewed a third, and then it was an ongoing joke, and then eventually they were like, it's never happening. But
what I mean is they were in each other's company a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of each other's. I don't know. I feel like Kendrick's got dirt. Maybe he knows they were at Diddy's house. Maybe he's got the videos. Maybe he's got the videos. I don't know. Because why is everyone so afraid of Kendrick? He's nice as a rapper. Don't get me wrong. But the fear doesn't match.
The boogeyman.
Why everyone apologizing? Why is everyone apologizing?
But you know, this just, like when the dust settles, the lore that this builds around Kendrick is insane.
I know, right?
If Drake Drake has 5 business days left to respond. If Drake does not respond immediately after the next, because Metro and Future are dropping again on Friday, and that project is We Still Don't Trust You, and we know from the first album who they don't trust. They don't trust Aubrey. So if they still don't trust Aubrey, and Aubrey doesn't respond to either Future, Metro, and damn near Kendrick, it's over. I never want to hear a debate about who the top dog is, because the boogeyman has scared all of these guys.
Oh gosh. So you've been saying, and I want to disagree. You said, Mal said on the Rory and Mal podcast that this is career suicide. It's over for Cole. Do you genuinely believe that?
I don't think we'll ever look at him the same. I think he's still got his core fan base. Cole is still gonna sell tickets, he's still gonna sell records, of course, but he's never gonna be in that conversation. The best he's going to... The conversations J. Cole is now in is Wale, Big Sean, J. Cole. That's where he is right now. And that's the best it's ever going to get from him, because he has removed any opportunity for him to be viewed in any other light than that. He has cost himself... I'm not exaggerating. I'm thinking he cost himself 100,000 record sales. Just in that alone. Because I don't even want to hear the album. And I'm a fan. So the casual fans are going to want to tune in. They're not going to
listen. I want to chew in.
No, I'm keen to hear what he's got.
You're not the casual fan, Dan. You're not the casual fan. That's my point. We don't believe you no more. You said you were the best. You've been saying, I'm out rapping all of you niggas. The opportunity to prove it was there. And you came out crying. The thing is, you didn't even lose. Had you lost a battle, we would have been like, yo, my mans, you put up a valiant fight. It is what it is. Meek Mill, granted, his tweets are wild. He does ridiculous things.
But I don't know what's going on with Meek Mill.
At least Meek Mill fought, and people still respect his music. Never in the history of hip-hopdom have I seen this. And once Tawe, we need to ban you from hip-hop conversations. Tawe shared a little list in our Patreon group earlier with the list of apologies. So let's run through this list because it is devoid of a lot of context. And maybe Tawe does. Is that maybe he was trolling us? I don't know. Jay-Z didn't.
No, know. No. He took, you know that hip-hop by the numbers account? I don't even follow, but it just comes up on my page every time.
So that's the thing. I don't know if Tawe was sharing this as a troll or genuinely thought it was real. But Jay-Z to Nas. Jay-Z spoke of having sex with Nas's baby mother in a car Nas was paying for and leaving a condom on his child's booster seat. Way too foul. His mom was like, you're out of your mind. He had to apologize. That anyone with common sense and a prison mother understands that. Gucci Mane to T.I., people were dying. People were being killed. That apology made sense. Benzino to Eminem. Benzino had to apologize because Eminem ended his career. Melly Mel to Eminem. We played the song on the podcast. Just scroll back. You heard it.
To be fair, he wasn't apologizing to Eminem. He was apologizing to the whole world.
Indeed.
Really.
Kanye to George Bush. Once again. Kanye said George Bush don't care about black people on TV and threw Mike Myers on the bus. He wasn't really apologizing to George Bush. He was apologizing to everyone else. Soulja Boy to the U.S. military. I don't know what that's about. I don't even want to get into it. The baby was accusing gay men of having sex in dumpsters behind his concert and contracting STIs. What are we saying here, guys? Come on. I love you, my guy. But come on. Let's get back to the matter at hand. Cole, career suicide. His career is not over, but the debates, the brolic raps, and that's the thing. Like, there's no battle that Cole can now enter and push back in. There's no
Phil,
brother Dasio.
What's
no brolic?
What's wrong? What's wrong with saying I'm number two?
No. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying you're number two.
Say I'm the greatest. No. I'm the greatest. Except for you, though. Yeah, you're better than me. No. But everyone else, I'm the greatest. I mean, you can still stand proud as number two.
No, you stand proud. You stand proud by fighting. You go toe to toe. You lose with honor and valor.
And a smart man doesn't get into a fight he knows he'll lose. Maybe he heard when he says he was in
combat. So then, why did you start the fight?
Maybe he heard. He heard the response, and he was like, "Nah, I can't let this come out." Look, I still respect Cole. I'm disappointed. I wish he hadn't done that. I wish he had handled it differently. If you really needed to, my bro, call him personally and be like, listen, man, that was just jabs. I still rock with you. Ha, ha, ha. It's all good. And, you know, or if you really needed to, come out and say, I still think I'm the best. I'm the baddest. I'm hot. No one's better than me. But you know what I'm saying? This is just friendly. This is just a reminder to everyone. This is friendly competition. That's all this is. Don't be wilding out in them tweets. Cool. Just say that. You know what I'm saying?
So there's something we're going to discuss. So as fans, we're obviously disappointed with Cole. This is BS. But there's one aspect we actually just kind of glossed over, which is actually quite serious. Cole just left Drake out to dry. You know, it is like you go into a fight and you think, oh, okay, cool. It's 2-1-1. Easy.
That happened to me. Happened to me.
Light work. I got this. And then you turn around and your homies disappeared. And you're like, wait, whoa. I thought I had some backup. First person shooter is never getting performed again. That's the other thing. Like, J. Cole can never perform first person shooter again. He can't. How do you perform that song now?
Phil, you can as number two.
I'll boo. You if just, I'm in the audience, I'll boo when he says that line.
Listen, I still respect you, J. Cole. Also, I mean, Ari Lennox came out and said, nah, I respect you being true to yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's always a good sign when your subordinates back up your actions.
Yes, it is. All right. Okay, Philip, let's move on from this. Every podcast under the sun is going to be discussing that this week. I mean,
I'm just
and worthily so, but
and I'm
let's
sure
talk about it. Everything.
The whole of Zimbabwe and the greater part of South Africa is waiting with bated breath for 6 foot weights analysis of the situation.
Okay, let's move on to some other stories. You know, we haven't even started talking about this. Is still catch up from last week.
Yeah.
And Philip, okay, I'm going to apologize to you and the listeners. Today, we're not doing a two-hour episode. For the first time in 15 years, Arsenal's playing in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The Arsenal Bayern Munich game is starting in 10 minutes.
Dad, you don't have two screens. Just put the game on the second screen. No, bro. Come on.
No. This is about integrity. I want to be focused on the podcast. And at the same time, I'm not going to be able to not watch the game. It's okay. I'll miss the first few minutes as we wrap this up. I don't expect too much is going to happen, but you know, my wife is making spring rolls. It's an event. So we're going to go ga through some of these other stories and you know, you look, we've spoiled you guys. It's been 2 hours plus the last 2 weeks. I mean, no one can ever accuse us of, I think we've more than made up for our late return. 6 foot weights. So it's cool. Anyway, this is, again, a little bit of a follow-up. Our producer put it as a talking point, but I think it's just really a follow-up. We spoke about how Universal Music Group and TikTok have been in beef, and it looks like it is intensifying. This is a real... I can't believe TikTok is standing on business more than J. Cole. and J. Cole apologized before Jadon Sancho. So... the Independent Music Companies Association, also known as Impala, have released a statement detailing its position on the TikTok and UMG beef, and they are taking sides with UMG. Of course they are. I mean, they're the Independent Music Companies Association. They want more monies. So this advocacy group has come out, and they said they support UMG's stance on TikTok in relation to valuing music properly. The independent community has adopted a similar approach at various points over the years with the other services, from MTV to Apple to YouTube. We also reject arguments equating the use of music on TikTok to promotion. This is very interesting, obviously, because we were talking about major label levels. Try and say that, Phil. Major label levels. And even at an independent level, clearly, they seem to be on Universal's side. So now, I don't know, at first I was kind of leaning towards TikTok and I thought UMG were being a little bit greedy, but maybe they have a point, especially when I hear that most of the independent music artists are also siding with UMG. So, I mean, this could just be big money playing. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Pressure put in the right corners. But I think that's interesting. They're calling it a TikTok value gap, and that TikTok should pay more.
Yeah, 5 years ago, they were calling it the YouTube value gap. It's the same story over and over again.
Still in the world of music news, Spotify have leaned further into artificial intelligence with some new features, including an AI playlist generator.
Crims, really? Is this what we're discussing? Crims, really?
I mean, one of our patrons put it in the group, right? I think it's interesting, okay? Just as a quick aside, honestly, it's like...
I can do this with ChatGPT right now, Dan.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
I can do
the
this
difference
with
being, of course...
Right.
The difference being that you would assume that Spotify has more current access to trends and playlists and charts, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I haven't tried it, but check it out. Spotify premium subscribers on Android and iOS in UK and Australia. Okay, time to bring out the VPN. But yeah, so that should be interesting to see, but not too much to talk about over there. You want to talk about Meek Mill?
See, I think Meek Mill and J. Cole represent the polar opposites of the hip hop. One is a rapper who's had too much therapy, and one is a rapper who's had no therapy but desperately needs it. If they could find, you know, if they could just move towards the middle a little, I think we'd be better off. I don't even want to discuss it. Like, what is he saying all the time? Like, you know, I spend so much time like reading Meek Mill's tweets out aloud, trying to understand what he was trying to type. It's like trying to decipher codes from the Nazis.
Philip, what's going on with Glorilla and Meg Thee Stallion and Njani? I saw them trending and I tried to search for it.
Oh, Meg dropped a new challenge. I was actually watching a video earlier. Lotto just joined the challenge. Glow was just talking about, so on her new mixtape, Airtime, which dropped last week, she was talking about how there's a few guys, a few rappers in the industry that she, and she was like, yo, these guys is lying. And then she was talking about like, yo, I've got a few beefs, but it's not real beef. I got with JT and she cleaned that up and then I'm cool with Meg. So nothing too crazy. What else have you seen? What are you laughing at? What are you laughing at, Dan? Oh, you saw the video?
No, I'm just laughing at how your cadence just changed in your description of this whole story. Interesting stuff. Okay. There's some wrestling stuff here. That's your wheelhouse if you want to talk about it.
I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I've been so busy this week, but okay. I recorded both of them. So I've got up to halfway on Saturday. So I just finished watching the Rey Mysterio match on Saturday. Shout out to Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne was there. Shout out to Coco Jones for singing the national anthem. So I'm still on Saturday. Next week I'll have caught up with the whole of WrestleMania. I'm excited, Dad. The Rock is bringing it back. I love it.
How old are you, Philip? How old are you? You either have to be a parent or very young.
Dan, why can't I just enjoy it? Like, it's nostalgic and it's silly. Wrestling is so incredibly silly. It's fun.
All right. So I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about Duke and Slay. So
for the past
couple of years, there's been an event in Zimbabwe called Duke and Slay, which is a concert or basically a festival, music festival, that is only allowed for women. Only women are allowed to attend. It's called Duke and Slay. It's been growing little by little. I think it first started off with derision. Hey, where do women want to go? Where there ain't no mbingas. Hey, who's going to buy you drinks? This is going to be a failure. But clearly, they've gone the opposite direction. The most recent Duke and Slay, which happened this past weekend, had over 10,000 in attendance.
I saw the videos. I don't know if it was crazy, bro. It was crazy.
Saw the video, right? It was insane. And it was all singing along to Ja Praise and really high notes. I'm just not used to it. It was funny. But I think that's cool, man. I think that a space where women feel safe to have fun, like you feel safe, you know what I'm saying? Why the heck not have? I don't understand why people are so pressed about it. Well, it happened this past weekend. It was at the Alex Sports Club. Over 10,000, so is the estimate that came through from H Metro, attended this event, performing with the likes of Ja Praise, Feli Nandi, etc. And if you get a chance, just search for Duke, D-O-E-K, Duke and Slay, and just take a look at some of the videos that have been circulating. They had a really cool drone shot of all the women singing along to Ja Praise's performance. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool that there's a space that's just for women. Although someone did make a statement, Anzi, I was on my way home and then I saw a bunch of women just drunk and stumbling along the street. Duke and Slay needs to fall, man. And I was like, It made me chuckle a little bit, but I was like, man, let people have fun, man. Let them have a good time in a safe environment. You know, I hope it stays safe. I hope no one takes advantage of things over there, but I think that's pretty cool. Apparently people came from all over just to attend, like literally people came from Kwekwe and whatever, traveled specifically just for this event. So
that's what's up.
That's pretty cool. Shout out to that event. I know that whoever the organizer is, I know they had to go through hell to get it here. I know they fought battles and look, I don't know who you are, but you strong and well done for it's now at this stage where it's got such a high profile, literally 10,000 women attending. Very cool. Yeah, I just wanted to give it a shout out and just to say like, man, let people have fun. If they feel safe, they feel comfortable and they're having a good time, it's only for women. And we know why. You don't have to sit there and pretend. It's because, you know, sometimes men go a little too far and women don't feel safe. So let them go somewhere where they can feel safe. Would you go to an all-male concert, Phil?
Yeah, I do. It's called hip-hop.
Boots and Slay. I don't know.
I attended Swagger Night.
Timberland Boots.
For many weeks in a row. What do you think that was? That was Sausage Fest 99. What you talking about, bro?
Went to Enzo Eichel concert. What are you talking? Anyway. I would attend an all-male concert. But yeah. While we're still talking about being outside, did you see the announcement that Unplugged is back, Phil? I'll take that as a yes.
Good to see Takura's back. That's nice. I hope he's doing well.
Shout out Unplugged. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I will go. I'll be there. I'm going to go to Unplugged. And I'm a huge fan of Takura and the fact that he's backing out. I'll be there as well. I'll be there as well. So looking forward to Unplugged. Quick note on movies and TV. So Phil, there's a TV show on BBC that's just launched. It's called Parish. Have you heard of it?
Nah.
So it's a drug drama. Think Dope Boys. No, not what am I saying? Think Top Boys. Top Boy. Think Top Boy. Think Snowfall. Right? Mm-hmm. This is how it's described. This show revolves around the life of a taxi driver whose existence takes a dramatic turn when he unwittingly becomes entangled with a notorious Zimbabwean gangster known for exploiting undocumented immigrants at the U.S. southern ports. So there's a Zimbabwean character in there by the name of Shamiso Tongai. Well, that's her character name. She's played by South African actress Bonimbuli. I just want to play you a snippet of the show that that trended a little bit, and then I want to ask your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's loading. I made the mistake of finding the Twitter link. Loading. Okay, I'm going to play it from here instead. Okay, tell me if you can hear this.
Driver. Yeah.
Diani Oyu.
Zent. Mumemunu wa pabasa, sina kudunza.
Ngino kukumbira makota le report effect.
Number gonna go viring.
Vire.
Did anyone ever tell you it's rude to stay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dan, why are we trying to talk to him about quarterly reports in short?
So.
Wait, I don't understand. Like, what's up to discussing finances in short? What's happening there, Dan?
What's the name of the guy that played Gus, Gustavo Fring in Breaking Bad?
Oh, man.
What's his name, man? He's like a super, he's like an amazing villain in every TV show and movie he plays. Oh my goodness, I'm going to quickly Google it because I've forgotten. He was played by... yes, Giancarlo Esposito. So he's also in this show, right? So the reason this was trending is because a lot of people felt that this is clearly a terrible Shona accent. Why couldn't they have just got a Zimbabwean to act in the role? I thought it would be a good opportunity to address that. So number one, I firmly believe that acting means pretending to be someone else. So I don't inherently see any problem with a South African playing a Zimbabwean. I don't see a problem with that on a very conceptual level, right? If you find a South African who can convincingly play a Zimbabwean, mwah. But if the Zimbabwean watching it is like, yo, that sucks, then maybe you made a wrong choice. That having been said, we have many Zimbabweans who have played Americans. Do you also have a problem with that? We have Zimbabweans who play.
What do you mean, man? We out in the hood doing our thing, you know what I'm saying?
Would you have a problem when you hear that this movie stars Tongai Chirisa playing someone from Chicago? Would you have the same energy? Probably not. I do understand that maybe you're trying to advocate for the sake, you know, the sense that, listen, a lot of our actors here are very talented, but they don't have a lot of outlets for their talent. So it would be good if you can use them, especially since they'll fit into the role you want so seamlessly. You don't need to anybody on language. And so that's going to be my next point. Right? So I'm understanding that there's some people who feel that way. The flip side is Zimbabwe does not have a vibrant film and TV landscape. I'm sorry. We have a couple of dope directors. We have a couple of actors. But we can't sit here and pretend that there's a very vibrant industry in film and television. So it's understandable that maybe some of the actors that are coming out of Zimbabwe are a little bit below par. That having been said, there's plenty of Zimbabwean actors who are in the UK, since it's a BBC One show, or who are in the US, since this is the location of the shooting. So maybe, you know, casting director, when you're out looking for someone to play the part, I don't see anything wrong with including some Zimbabweans. For all we know, maybe they did. They were just like, hey, not up to par. Let me go with the South African actress, Boni Mbuli. Anyway, long story short, I don't view it as that deep, but I did find it funny that so many people were upset by this and were complaining about it, because acting is acting. Maybe the corresponding Zimbabwean actors were not up to par. Maybe. I don't know. So just wanted to say that. Yeah. Philip, I'm done. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
So a lot is plaguing my spirit right now, Dan. I mean, where do we begin?
yeah. You'll get over it. You'll be a J. Cole fan again by next week. If he did this.
Driver.
Yeah.
Deanna Uyo.
Oh wait, sorry. I thought you were playing it. I was accidentally playing it. Okay, if let's say in the coming week, J. Cole drops mad diss songs, not at Kendrick, but at everyone, but everyone else who's ever taken shots, everyone who's said something.
We don't care. Like, Dan, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Don't you?
You can diss like your mother. I don't care.
Don't you think hip hop is a manifestation of toxic masculinity?
It's not.
J. Cole has taken the first step.
So why were you participating in that toxic masculinity for 3 years beforehand?
I see
your therapy checks only cleared this weekend.
Maybe only this week the pin dropped. A moment of realization hit him. It's like, yo, I am contributing to the toxicity of this genre I love so much. I'm going to take the first step, even though I know I'm going to be derided. And he knew he was going to be derided. I'm going to take this first step and try and reach out for peace.
They're
going to call me all kinds of names.
A burning. How scared of Kendrick are you? You know, like when you're a kid, right? And you messed up. And then you had a choice to make. Like, yo, let's say you went to someone's house and you're like, yo, I'm going to get a beating either way. I need to make a decision as to whose beating I'm going to take. And you decided to take the beating from the neighbors because you knew the beating from your mother was going to be way worse than whatever the neighbor could dish out.
We grew up with traumatic childhoods, huh?
Kendrick can't be this kid of Kendrick. Like I don't understand. What does Kendrick have on them?
I wanna hear the theories from our listeners.
And you know what really makes me upset? Now I've gotta rely on Aubrey to make hip hop interesting again. Aubrey,
don't do that. Don't do that, Phil. I mean, he might surprise you. I had to rely on Manchester United to hold Liverpool. And I was like, I'm setting myself up. This is me relying on Aubrey.
But to my surprise. We might have handed you guys the title this weekend. I was annoyed.
To my surprise, they came through. So, you know. So maybe. All right, listen, we're going to take advantage of the opportunity to end it now. Please, I want to hear your takes and your theories about this whole J. Cole situation. Apart from that, yeah, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. For those of you who are not that plugged into hip-hop, don't worry. We'll break it down for you some more and then discuss other things also. If you're a fan of this podcast, please go to twobroketumbles.com/donate, where you can sign up to be a patron through the Patreon platform, or if you'd like to make a direct donation, you'll find the options are available on that webpage. For as little as $5 a month, we can add you to our exclusive group of Two Broke Trimbos patrons, where we will have some dope conversation. Trust me, this whole week was fire in that group as we were analyzing all these these disses. And I look forward to that group also being fire as we go forward. We're also doing some merch, some limited edition merch. It's going to be exclusively for patrons. So if you want to be part of that, stick around. But as a patron, and if you are a patron and you've noticed that your subscription has lapsed, please just do the needful, update your account details, do whatever it is you got to do. We don't accept Zig. Let's move.
Well, actually, we didn't even discuss Zig this whole episode. That would have been a funny thing.
What?
So Dan, have you explained why you have $3 in cash at your bank yet?
I think that's a misunderstanding. I honestly think they meant to say 100,000 Zig worth or 100,000. Because it can't be 100,000 US dollars worth, because who's got 100,000 US dollars worth of? Isn't that like the total market cap of ZWL?
I think you missed what I said, Dan. That's what I said.
No, I heard you.
They said it twice because they've said it again today. They were like, you need to explain.
That's why I'm saying I think that they are mistaken and they said 100,000 ZWL. When they meant to say 100,000 Zig.
They've said it twice, Dan.
It has to be a mistake. It's a mistake in the brief or something, because that doesn't make sense. What do you mean explain why you've got $3? Oh,
so the Zig makes sense. The QR code on that note makes sense.
have you tried to see where it goes?
Do you know what? Let me not put people on blast, but I know someone who works for a bank. And this is where I actually had compassion for them. The information coming from the Treasury was so bad and so confusing. People that I know that worked at banks did not sleep this weekend. They were just trying to figure out, A, what the hell do we do? How do we calculate formulas? How do we adjust balances? How do we communicate with our customers what's going on? How do we understand the rate? Do we even understand how the rate works? Do we even understand?
Yes!
Like, it was a mess.
Arsenal won by Munich 0. Oh, Philip. Listen, guys, it's been fun. I'm going to catch you again next week. Two Broke Twimbles is on the up, baby. Shame about J. Cole. We're going to end the podcast with that new Takura, I guess. I like it. I like it a lot. And we will catch you in the next one.
We out.
Can I be the one to hold you, pound on your tongue? she never thought she'd fall in love with a gangster. Told me that her ex left her broken and messed up. It's that easy, baby, I can fix it. She begging me like, did she quit her manera? Only no te bueno, did she quit her manera? I just wanna feel all your energy some more.
John's on the... No, I'm blushing, but it's...